Oh, it's good to be home. If you would, grab your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Odd chapter. I'm going to take some verses that are not necessarily fully going to be in the context. I'm not necessarily taking them out of context, but I'm not really going to deal with what's going on. We're not going to talk about speaking in tongues and prophesying and all those things, all right? That's not the point. Although I guess I could, but that's kind of weird and I don't want to. So, and since I'm preaching, I don't want to. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he has two verses here I want to pull out. He says in verse number 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And then he ends the chapter in verse number 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." When I was over in a foreign land, I see how tricky that was? That was nice. You're welcome, Shannon. There's a lot of chaos. It's a constant of chaos. I was asked if driving there is like driving here. The answer is no. The idea of order and structure, most countries in the world don't have, we call it infrastructure here, right? Roads, buildings, design, layout, all of those things. It is not haphazard. The entirety of most of our country ultimately is designed and laid out, and it's got infrastructure, and it's laid out the way it's kind of supposed to be. It makes sense. I was amazed, is years ago, I can't even remember what year it was, maybe 2014 or something, Pastor Legault and I went out to Fort Dodge, Iowa, and went to a conference out there, and I knew a pastor nearby. It was about, I don't know, an hour and a half drive, something like that. He invited us to come on that Sunday. And so I think I did Sunday school. Pastor Legault preached, and we got to meet up with him, and it was a good time. But we were driving, and as we're driving through cornfields, literal cornfields, we passed a street, and it was like 161st Street in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. And you drove, and the next street that you got to, which was literally, I mean, you're driving past acres of corn. You got to the next one, and it wasn't 162nd. They had laid out the grid as if future time they could make that a city. And it would be blocked off, and the next one was, I don't know, like 183rd. They knew how many streets were in between that they would have laid out if they laid that out as a city. That is structure right there. That's planning. You know, the trouble we have in our lives is our lives are very chaotic sometimes. And it's chaos, and I want you to understand something today. God is not in the business of creating chaos. He is a God of order. Amen. He is very structured. We're going to see that today. Satan, on the other hand, when you get to John chapter 10 and verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." He likes chaos. That's right. The adversary likes no better than to put you in as much chaos as he can give you. You say, well, what's the trouble? The trouble is that in chaos, you and I make very poor decisions. Right. we get tense. We get nervous. We're unsure. We get worried. We struggle with what do I do? And we have a hard time making the right decisions, because we're not following the order of what we should do by trusting God in everything. God wants you, notice what he says about it, the opposite of chaos, he gives it to you in verse number 33. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Confusion is not very peaceful. When you don't know what to do, it doesn't bring you peace. But when you know exactly what to do, no big deal. Right? Isn't that the easy thing for us when, you know, some of you have different work in your background, different things that you've had to deal with in your background. You hit that problem. Somebody calls you if you're in construction or anything like that. You get that problem, they call you, and your automatic answer, oh yeah, I know what that is. You've seen it before, you've done it before, you've dealt with it before. They're worried. Your answer is no big deal. Big difference. Because there's an order in your mind. You understand what the problem is, and you can fit. It's not chaos to you. It's not confusion to you. Oftentimes, we live in a state of confusion. When we feel that way, we will make poor decisions or we'll make no decision. And sometimes no decision is worse than poor decision. And so it's figuring out, well, what does God want? Well, first of all, you've got to recognize that God wants peace. And He likes it in order. Down south, they have this weird thing. Some of these churches, you hear about, you know, they have no order of service. They have no structure to anything. They're just, let the Holy Spirit lead. I'm going to be honest. I don't think that's the Holy Spirit leading. I think that's them. You say, why? Because God's not the author of confusion. He's good with you making an order. Now, what's great is you can change the order. And if Brother Andrew would have said, hey, we're going to sing this one and another one, I wouldn't even have stopped him this morning. Wouldn't have bothered me a bit. If he'd have said, hey, we're going to sing number whatever, and then we'll do prayer requests, then I wouldn't even have known that he had messed anything up. He could have recovered it. And we'd have just sung one extra song this morning. Wouldn't have bothered me a bit. Say, but it's not on the schedule. That's not my concern. Some of these guys, they get up and they go, I don't need an outline or anything. Just open the Bible wherever it falls. I'll preach from that. That's confusion. That's not good. That's not even good preaching. You're just yelling a lot for no reason. That's not what God wants. But God is very particular in how He orders things, and He's done it since He started. And so let's go, Lord, in prayer. We're going to look at the God of order this morning. Father, I do pray You would just bless the Word of God as it's preached today. Father, give me strength, give me wisdom, give me clarity of thought and mind that I might be able to say what You'd like me to say. Father, nothing more and nothing less, that You'd be pleased with everything that's said and done. Lord, I thank You for once again just being good to me, to this church, Father, to its people. Lord, I know some are still sick and some are unable to be out today, but Lord, I thank You so much that you're working and that You're doing. Father, You're not confused and You're not surprised and You're not shocked by anything that's gone on. You've got everything ordered up and it's ready to go. So Father, please help us to walk in Your ways and to do things Your way so that You can be pleased with everything that we do. Lord, I love You and I do pray if someone here does not know Jesus as their Savior, today would be the day they'd call upon You alone to save them. Father, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 if you would. Genesis chapter 1, we'll get a few places this morning. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, now you know, of course, Genesis 1 of creation, right? In the beginning, God created, and here He is, He's creating. The entirety of the creating, and here He is. You know, day one, He divides the light from the darkness, and He gets the firmament, and then He does all the, right? And we get to day four. I'm going to jump to day four, okay? I know everything else is in order too, but we'll jump to day four because it works pretty well here. Verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. We look at creation, and as we look at creation, creation is ultimate order and structure. I mean, you think about God creating things. He is particular. In fact, He is so good at creation that you and I literally set our watches by it. Amen. Right? I mean, sundials, That we set time by the fact that God is faithful in the fact that when He created it, it was set up exactly the way it was supposed to. We set our watches, our calendar, everything about our lives revolves around the idea that God made time, and when He made time, it runs in time. And He's always on time with His time. And it's amazing. You and I, could you imagine? I know Brother Matt deals with some of this up in the Arctic, but could you imagine waking up in the morning and expecting the sun to be up and it's still dark? And then you get around, 10:30 at night, and all of a sudden it's daytime. You're like, what is going on? We'd all be in that confusion. Could you imagine it's July and the weather is like now? That'd be bad for all of us. We would not like this. Teen camp would be interesting. Right? We expect order in God's creation. Now, I know the fall of man caused some chaos, but we still have so much structure from what God made that you and I can depend upon the fact that creation will bring forth after its kind, no matter what they try to tell you. It'll bring forth after its kind, that it'll be seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. You and I don't have to worry that the world is not going to continue on. You and I have guarantees that the world will be here for at least another 1,000 years because the Bible says so. But what about global warming? Really? We're going to go there? Global warming, climate change, because now you can't call it global warming because it's not warming all the time. Sometimes it's cooling, and now we sound dumb if we call it global warming, so we have to change our terms. Almost as if it runs in a cycle and it's been ordered. But anyways, I'm not supposed to do that. I wasn't in there. And the truth is, we are so easily pulled into the fact that there is structure in the universe. It's designed. We're pulled to it. It orders our days. It orders our nights. It orders our weeks, our months, our years. Everything is dictated by the fact that God is a God of order and not a God of chaos. He makes the trees. He makes everything to work. He runs water back into the sky so it'll come down as rain so that you can have it and water the ground. Everything He does in creation is made and designed so that you and I knew the order that God had. All structured. And it never fails. There it is. Secondly, I want you to see, look over at Romans chapter 3. I'm not planning to preach too long. The last point's the big one, though, so. We find that creation is ordered. I really like the second one. Number one, creation's ordered by God. He's got it all structured and organized, and everything looks great. It's nice and easy, simple to figure out. In fact, I'll be honest, when I went into the hospital, I'm really glad that, we're ordered. God organized us. They weren't guessing at anatomy when I got there. They knew what was going on, and they knew how to take care of it. If they don't, and they're guessing, because we're all so different, we're in trouble. Aren't you glad you can go to a doctor and hopefully the doctor can figure it out based upon previous folks who have gone in and dealt with the same issues and the same problems? And that's why we go to them. We go because they have experience that we don't have, and we don't know what this is, so tell me what this is. And then they tell you, and hopefully they can fix it. I know science and doctors have become less and less reliable, but that's because they've gotten away from those kind of things and dependent upon what God has already shown them. But Romans chapter 3, by the way, they're making it more chaos, just in case you're wondering. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we find chaos. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That chaos right there, every man doing right in his own eyes, that's chaos. Anarchy. Anarchy equals chaos. Liberty equals order. You'll find that later. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You know what God has done? God has ordered salvation, and He's structured it so that the deal is so clean and so perfect and so good that you and I are justified even as sinners before a holy God, and He did it so that it could be foolproof. That's how much structure God put into the plan of salvation. And He had the plan before He laid the foundations of the world. We find that in Revelation chapter 13. That Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. God's plan was, hey, guess what? I'm going to bring them order in creation, but I know that in creation they'll fail me, and so I'm going to have to do something to order it so that they can have salvation. He wants to be just, but He's got to be the justifier. He wants to save us, but He has to figure out how to save us. And thank goodness, thank God that He was able to figure out a great way to save us and make it so that our redemption was a free gift of eternal life, that Jesus Christ would shed His blood for the redemption of all of mankind's sin, to suffer the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God by Him, for He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Because Jesus Christ would shed His blood at Calvary's cross and give you a free gift of eternal life the day that He rose from the grave, He was able to offer eternal life to each man and woman that would ever live on the face of the planet. That was the plan. Aren't you glad God isn't thrown off by our chaos? You see, God's plan didn't change just because chaos happens. God's so steady and so perfectly ordered and organized that He is not, you don't mess up His plan. He's got a plan, and His plan is perfect, and He doesn't worry about you. Now that's going to be very important here in a minute. God's plans do not modify, because God already knows. That's why we can trust Him. That's why we can put faith in Him, and when everybody else says that He's wrong, we don't have to worry about what everybody else says. Our faith and our confidence is not in the fact that we know what's happening and that we are confident in ourselves. It is very simply that I'm confident that God is a God of order and a God of structure, and He has it all set up for me to know what to do. So we can trust that God is the God of creation and that He is faithful in that creation, which is why we know that the sun will come up, it will rise in the, and it will come back down and set in the evening, and you and I don't have to worry about it. We don't worry that the sky is falling. If the Christians worried the sky is falling, then they are not reading a Bible. The only thing we are waiting for is the day a trumpet sounds and we leave. That's all we're waiting for, and the sky won't be falling. We'll be going up to the skies. And we'll be gone and we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We have faith. We understand what God said about it. And God gave us a book to let us know, hey, guess what? Everything's been ordered. Everything's been structured. From creation to salvation. And the truth is, our lives are supposed to be ordered. We're supposed to be organized. We're supposed to not be in chaos. We won't go to all the places, but life is to be ordered. Let's go here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll start with the one nobody wants to talk about, all right? We'll start there, that way it'll get better, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2. He says in verse number 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. You know, every aspect of our life is to be ordered. God ordered government. He did order it. He does have it set up. Now, I know mankind, much like creation, they corrupt it. And I'm not going into all of that. There's plenty of corruption in government and in the world. But the truth is, their job was listed right there, ultimately, in as simple a form as possible. Punish evildoers and reward good people. And if the government did that, everybody would be happy. Unless you're an evildoer. And then I don't care if you're happy. Right? That's the idea. The idea is, if you do good, they leave you alone. Isn't that what we pray about in Timothy? Right? We pray for them that have the rule over us, right? That we might live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. If we're living godly and we're living honest, we shouldn't have to fear the king. We shouldn't have to fear the government. That's the idea. The idea is, if you're doing right and you're following the law and you're doing what you're supposed to do, then the government shouldn't mess with me. They should protect me and help me. That's the whole point of government. Not to lord over you and not to do all the other things, and I won't get into the corruption and the idea, but God, if government worked that way, all around the world, you know what? You would have peace in the world. Because God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. He designed it to be peaceful working. Punish evildoers, and then you don't have to worry about evildoers. If you'd punish them, it'd be done. If you'd quit releasing them and letting them keep doing whatever it is they're going to do, then you're going to cause your own problems. Say, why are we in chaos? We're in chaos because the government hasn't done what it's supposed to do. Amen. Previous and current. We got issues all over the place. I'm not trying to be all political, but that's the job of the government. And you and I can both see here in America, let alone worldwide, the lack of government being organized. In fact, the more the government takes on that it's not supposed to take on, the more chaos it'll have, guaranteed. That's right. So why? Because it's not designed to do that. And that's the caution. That's God's caution. So you can see, by the way, I'm using that not because I'm preaching against the government, how terrible it is. What I'm doing is I want you to see, if you do it God's way, then you can have order and structure. Amen. And when you don't do it God's way, you will have chaos. And we can see that just in a simple illustration of a government within the world. God gives it a task, and it goes outside of those things, and it fails to perform the simplest of the task, and you will have chaos. We've already been looking. Second thing that I want to mention about this life that we live in is the church. The church is ordered and it's structured. We already read in Sunday evenings, we went through Timothy, right? We understand the pastors, the deacons, and so on, the church members, and how all these things work together so that the church can operate. Nobody in the church is so special and spectacular. I'm not so special and amazing and super extra spiritual that I stand here as the pastor of the church and now I'm amazing, so I'm so much better than you, that's why I'm here. We understand that's not how that works. But what it is God goes ahead and appoints and He puts you in place. And if He puts a man in place as the pastor of the church, his job is to lead the church. And we'll get to it in a moment, but just as the husband's to lead the home. And I'm in subjection to God the Father, and He's supposed to lead and guide me, and I'm supposed to obey Him. If I fail to obey Him, I'm in trouble. The deacons are there to counsel and to help me and to help you and to strengthen and work and make sure everything works well, and they do their, and they go ahead and give me counsel, but ultimately, it's my responsibility. Nobody else's responsibility. Oftentimes people in the church, and I don't necessarily think I have this problem here, but people in the church will sometimes start thinking, well, why did he do that? And how come he's doing this? And what's going on there? And you know, I mean, if it were me, I would. And I'll tell you, I was Pastor Legault's associate for a long time, and you know what? I knew all the answers to all the problems. I did. Told him so. Made sure he knew what I knew. And I didn't. And now I'm the pastor, and sometimes I think, Lord, I don't know what that answer is. What do I do with that? And when I was the associate, I probably would have been like, hey, no, it's this. Let's do it. And there's a little more pause. Say, why? Because now I have to choose for what God wants me to do. And the pause is there, and you wait, Lord, what do I do with this? Because I don't want to do the wrong thing now. See, the difference is all the difference. Who's accountable for the answer? Well, sometimes, even sitting there, you don't have all the information that I would have. All the information the deacons would have and things. We like to make sure that things run the way they're supposed to as best we can. But sometimes you don't want everybody to know what's going on in your life. And I may know things that nobody else in the room may know about you. And you certainly don't want me to use that against you.
Come on. Come on.
And sometimes that's the difference in what needs to be done. See, I've used this illustration plenty. I heard a long time ago, and I like it. The pastor's not any better. He just has a different perspective on the room. I can stand here and I can say, hey, there's somebody in the back of the room or somebody in the hallway, and I can describe them, and you can't see them, but I know that they're there. And the only reason I see it is because I'm standing here looking that way and you're not. It's the place that God put me so that I can see. And praise God, He sets it up, and if He didn't want me here, well, it's highly apparent He could have taken me. Just that simple. You say, what does God do? He orders the church. Our church is very different, not because of me or Pastor Legault, Pastor Thomas, any of the... It's not us. It's our willingness to try to do it God's way. Amen. You find that don't want to conform to what God wants them to do and how they operate, and you find that they fall apart very quickly. They become man-centric. They become the pastor's in charge, and he's this dictator who rules with an iron fist, and you can't go to meetings at other people's churches, and you can't socialize with anybody outside the church. It's all just right here, and it's weird. That's weird. Tell you, if we don't have a church service happening here and somebody else is having a church service somewhere that you can go to and you'd like to, feel free. Go ahead, get some fellowship. Most of the churches around us, they invite us to their meetings. We invite them to our meetings. We try to have that open door. Because guess what? I'll tell you here. Hebrews, when he says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think that's church here. But I think that's anywhere you can find somebody who believes like you believe, and wants to worship God, and they've got a heart for doing that. And I'm not talking ecumenical weirdo. That's not what I mean. But get some fellowship with some other people, because as time goes on, if the Lord tarries long enough, you and I are going to be in the place where we become fewer and fewer and fewer. We won't become more and more and more. We're not ushering in the kingdom. We're not kingdom builders. All right? So maybe you just need to know somebody else in the country, somebody else in the state, there's another church like our church that actually believes and preaches the gospel and stands on a King James Bible, and hey, we're not by ourselves. Feel free. Go on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a whatever to go ahead and know. You see, it's not supposed to be lording over, but it is supposed to be leading. Sadly, the choice falls to me. And the deacons are there. But if the church gets out of order and the deacons run the pastor, you'll have chaos. Our church started because of that. Chaos. If you don't know the history, you can talk with Brother Bacon, Pastor Legault. Feel free. I'll answer the questions, but the truth is, there was an unbalanced setup. They didn't do it God's way, and it'll cost you every time. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm closing in. Part of our church constitution covers the three institutions ordered by God, and one's the government, one's the church, and one's your home, the family. And in Ephesians chapter 5, you can read the passage. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to cover some things, but I want you to be able to see it. You can read it. Verse 22 all the way to chapter 6, verse number 4 is where I'm getting what I'm going to talk about. We understand the structure of the home. The home is designed by God. He ordered it. He set it up. And He told you how it would work. If it gets out of order, it becomes chaos. When children rule, it's chaos. We already know that. If you can't figure that out, you haven't figured out what chaos is. It's the husband, the wife, and the children. That's the order. He starts, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now notice this, just like in the church, there's something that has to happen there where the pastor has to take accountability for the church. The husband takes accountability for the home. It's accountability. Not dictatorship. He's supposed to love her and cherish her. He's supposed to go ahead and protect her. He's supposed to provide for her. He is supposed to do everything in the best interests of his family, just like I should do everything in the best interests of the church, not my interests. The husband's job is supposed to do everything he can to make sure that the family succeeds, not by compromise and not by failures, not by just giving in to whatever everybody wants, but leading and doing what is right, so he can guide his home the way God wants it to be done. So where they go and what they do and what they wear and what they watch and what they have is all based upon what his standard is for what God told him to do. Now ladies, if you don't like that standard, then submit to him as unto the Lord. God gave him to you, so go ahead and trust you love the Lord and submit to the Lord because the Lord told you to. Husband, well, I don't like to lead. I don't like the responsibility. Take on the responsibility because it's yours. Because God gave it to you. Man up. Be a man and stand there and take responsibility for what's yours. You decided to go ahead and get married, so now she's your responsibility. You're having kids, they're your responsibility. Your job. Your job to pay for them, your job to make sure they're okay, your job to make sure everything's taken care of, your job to make sure that the standards of your home are set where they're supposed to be. They'll honor God and do it God's way. Don't leave that all to your wife. That's not her job. She is to love you and to honor you. She is to go ahead and love those children and raise them and help and work with them. But your job, sir, is to lead your home. The decisions are yours. And if you make selfish and poor decisions, God will judge you for it. Guaranteed. And if you let your home be in chaos, sir, that is your fault. It's not God's fault. It's not your wife's fault. Oh, she just won't submit to me. How about you lead for a while and find out? She'll probably do it. How about you love her and keep doing your job and she'll go ahead and say, so you just don't understand. Okay, take it up with God. Do your job. See, now I'm going to get back around to this spot right here. We deal with more families and more problems and more issues. That's just how it is. So if your family's running good, don't touch it, all right? If you're doing it God's way, it's all good. But the truth is, we deal with family issues. We deal with life issues. If you're a young lady in here or a young man in here who wants a family in the future, listen up. God's way is always the right way. Always. You want less pain and less suffering in your home when you grow up? You want a better home than you grew up in? Everybody wants that. Our parents are not perfect. I am not a perfect parent. Wish I was. But my goal is to have a better home than my family had. Do a little bit better. Do a little bit more God's way. Your goal, when you get older, do it better than your parents. Get it closer to God's way. Get as close as you can get. You say, yeah, but nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. Do your best. Strive to do it God's way. Your husbands, and that husbands, you'd love your wives, that you'd be willing to submit to your husbands, that you'd be willing to go ahead and lead your home and be the man you're supposed to be and say, this is how it's going to be. This is what we're going to do. Have a standard. Not lording, not being a dictator, not any of that. You can love and lead. You don't know how to do that? We got plenty of stuff to let you know how to do that. And kids, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. They don't understand. They understand more than you understand. They may not know how to do all the fun things and all the trick things on that smartphone you have, but I guarantee you this, they understand how dangerous it is. And you have no idea. The world today has become absolutely predatory upon your children. They would do nothing more than ravish them and destroy them as quickly and as easily as they can. And all it takes today is one cell phone. I have too many stories, and I'm not going to share them. Too many names and too many people that have fallen because of one device. Fathers, I blame you. You're the standard. Well, all the other kids have, I don't care. I had a parent bring me in because they said, see what he says about phones. Have a teenager look at me and say, you mean if I was at your house, I wouldn't have a phone? I said, nope, you wouldn't. You don't need one. Not one of those. I got this nice flip phone. You can't even text on, unless you can figure out how to say C by hitting the number 1 3 times, right? Is that right? I got that, Kevin? Unless you can figure out how to do it, but that's the most you'll get. You'll have zero internet on that phone. You'll have zero. That's what you'll have at my house. Say why? Because that's the standard. Because I don't trust enough of the security locks. Locks are great for honest people. The caution is, how do you run your home? Is it the Lord's way you're running your home? Is it ordered that way, or does your home feel like chaos all the time? If your home feels like chaos, there's something wrong. Your home should be a place of peace. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Our homes should be places of peace. We don't always have it. I understand that. Things go wrong. Things go terrible. Sometimes, you know, you fly away, you come back, and everything's in chaos. But you know, God knew what was going on. He knew. And so I could put my trust that although it feels like chaos, I can trust that God's got me. That if I just do it His way, He'll get glory and He'll fix it in whatever way comes out best for Him. But would you do that with your home? With your family? Don't you think God knows what's best for your family? Amen. Then why do you keep hanging on to things and doing it your way? Look over at Psalm chapter 37 and I'll be done. I'm going to make a quick comparative here, and then I'm going to read a verse here in Psalm 37. And then we'll pretty much be done. But you realize got saved, maybe you were young like me. I was younger, 7 when I got saved. So I don't know that I really felt quite the chaos. Some of you got saved later in life. You felt your life was in chaos. And then Jesus shows up. And he saves you. Made you that new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. He made it all new, and he fixed it. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, I've got some order in my life that I never had. Amen. Some of us that grew up in church, we were hand-wrapped order. Like it was gift wrapped for us and just handed to us. And the only way we messed it up was when we started being disorderly in our own conduct, which we did. All of us did the same thing, all right? We all, not exactly the same. We all did, we made dumb mistakes. That's what we did. We didn't do it God's way all the time. We knew better. Foolishness, failures. We kind of, you know. We all got plenty of, those that grew up in church, we all had our spots. Whatever those sticking spots were, that's we got stuck in some things. Praise the Lord, he pulled us up out of those and cleaned us back up and said, all right, let's try again. Right? So we know a little bit of the confusion, maybe not as much as somebody who maybe got saved in their 30s and 40s maybe, or even in their 20s, party guy, you know, or party girl or something like that, where they got saved out of just complete, utter chaos and tragedy. But all of us had our chaos before Jesus Christ and submitting to Him and following Him. Right. And the more we let Him have control, the more order and structure we have in our lives. You ever notice that? The more secure you are, the more peaceful you have it. The more that's submitted to Him, the more that we please Him, the more that we honor Him daily, the more at peace we are all the time. Amen. The less chaos the world can bring, the less chaos Satan can bring in. Even when everything isn't going the way we think it should, if we know we're walking with Him and doing it His way, the chaos doesn't seem to bother us. Peace reigns. He says in Psalm chapter 37, verse number 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, the steps are ordered. We talk about in math, there's order of operations, right? If you learned that in school, I don't know if they teach that anymore. They should. Super easy, right? We good? Am I good? Okay, all right, praise the Lord. Haven't completely dumbed down our education system. All right. There's an order to things. Well, the steps of a good man are ordered. I don't think he's meaning that he's calling them down like every second to tell you where to step. I think he's got a design for what he wants for your life. Amen. And those steps are, he's got them in order for you. And if you'd walk in that order, you wouldn't get ahead of him. You wouldn't get behind him. You wouldn't have a misstep. You wouldn't have a failure. You'd be constantly walking with him, constantly talking with him, because it's all been done in order. You ever build something out of order? I know, gentlemen, we don't need instructions. And we start building, and then all of a sudden we realize, I missed a piece in the middle. Anybody ever done that? Please, you know, just, right? And we go, oh, and we have to rip a section back out to put the piece in that we missed. Missed it. But if we'd have followed the right order, we wouldn't have to do that part. Right. Now, what I love about this passage is, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And still, he slides in the next verse, though he fall. You know what that just slid over to me? That just said, hey, I'm going to order the steps for you, but even a good man, a just man, he'll fall seven times. But the Lord will catch him. He'll uphold him. And he'll let you get back on track and keep walking. Stay in order. Praise the Lord. Say, well, I'm not doing it right. Well, that's fine. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And if you fell, okay, well, get back up. Lord's got you. Go ahead and trust him. It's okay. Maybe he's got some things personally in your life that are just out of order. Your Bible reading's not in order. Your prayer life's not in order. Your witnessing's not in order. You're being lazy at your job. You're being off with this, or you're not doing that, or you know you're supposed to be helping with this, or you know you're supposed to be... I don't know what it is. Maybe there's some things personal in your life, not the family, and not just the... Maybe it's me. Hey, I have some things out of order in my life. I need to get back in order. So that God can get all the glory. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Say, oh, well, that's the Sermon on the Mount, you know. And okay. Except you're supposed to shine as lights, according to Paul. In a dark world. I can think of nothing better to shine in the world that we live in than a life that is ordered by God. Amen. That'll be a stark contrast to a world that is in absolute chaos. God is a God of order. And Christian, He wants you to be a man, a woman, even a child is known by His doings. He wants all of us to be ordered by God. To have our lives meet, satisfactory, perfectly matched up with what God wants for our lives. Meet for the Master's use. Today, you feel in chaos today? Maybe you need to come to the God of peace and say, okay, God, I need you. Maybe you don't even know what's out of order. You ever had that? Something's not right, but I don't know what it is. Okay, He knows what it is. He knows what it is. Maybe you just need to come and go, God, I don't know, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling like pressure and chaos and stress and I don't know what to do. What do I do? You have not because you ask not. God, could you tell me? Well, He can. Have you ever asked Him to tell you? Now's the time. God, why do I feel this? Why do I feel so much chaos? I'll tell you, there can be a whole lot of chaos and you still have a whole lot of peace. Amen. Laying in a hospital bed, I still had a whole lot of peace. I knew where I was, but I knew I was where I was supposed to be. And the Lord used it abundantly. Say, what's the trouble? The trouble is you let chaos make your decisions and you'll end up in more chaos. Trust the Prince of Peace. Let's go ahead and stand. If you're in here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're living in chaos. He wants to go ahead and order that. He wants to fix it. If you'd be willing to come, Jesus Christ promises that if you come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll save you to the uttermost if you'd trust Him. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God's ordered up salvation for you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, He wants you and He wants to save you. Christian, maybe you're in here today. You're feeling the chaos and the pressure. You're feeling like some things are out of control and some things are not quite right. Maybe you don't even know what it is. Maybe you do know what it is. Maybe you need to come and surrender that to Him and say, God, I need Your order and I need Your, how do I fix this and how do I do this? Because He can get you out of any hole, any mess, any problem, any difficulty, any struggle. He orders the steps out of the deepest and the darkest pits. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He does that all the time if you'd be willing to let Him. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I just need You. I don't know what I need, maybe, but I know I need You. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the day. Thank You for giving me the strength to preach this morning. Thank You for bringing me home. I pray each of our lives would be a light in a dark world filled with chaos, problems and troubles, unrest and discontentment. That a life of order and peace, following the only God of the universe, the Almighty God that saves us and keeps us, washes us and orders our steps. I pray we'd walk in those steps and live pleasing to You. If someone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. They would come and they'd let us show them out of a Bible how they can know their sins are forgiven forever. Bless the invitation now. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.